How many knew that? You could actually look them up on the internet. They have a mule shoes, and they're not the shoes you put on a mule, but the shoes you put on people. And, you know, someone that was very close to my heart, and I know to yours, was Bob Jones. And Bob spoke some significant things into our lives, into this church, and into my life. And I was informed by one of our precious saints that as I came in on the mule shoe, I'd have to go back and look at the email because I'm going to miss some of it. But there's an intersection in Mule Shoe between Highway 214 and Highway 84. And I didn't grab all that until this morning. Bob Jones was 84 years old when he died on February the 14th. And wow. Okay, someone say wow. Okay, I know that sounded like it really impressed you. But that's a lot of coincidence, right? Considering some of the words that God has spoken. And I thought that was a neat. Thank you, Lisa, for sharing that with me. And I'm going to look into that further because wouldn't that be something, huh? How many of you have ever had a coincidences in your life? You know, coincidences aren't really coincidences, though. God orders the steps that we walk in. So sometimes don't look at a coincidence as being a coincidence because maybe God is getting your attention on what's about to happen. Open the book of Revelations, chapter 19. During a time of trial and shaking, the Lord has a neat deal about revealing himself. How many have noticed that? And oftentimes, our greatest pain, our greatest trial, becomes our greatest opportunity for a fresh revelation of the Lord in the midst of us. And as we look at this last week, we see that happening in the body of Christ, but we see it happening on a daily basis because God wants to keep revealing who he is so we begin to understand what the kingdom is. Because the greater the revelation of him, the greater the knowledge and the greater the understanding of the kingdom of God that's being birthed in the midst of us. And John was exiled to the island of Patmos. And if we look back and understand the depth of that exile, we begin to understand the significance of what God showed him in the book of Revelation. Remember, it starts out that he on the Lord's day, the Lord opened up. And he saw the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God. There was a revelation that began to come in the midst of his greatest challenge. So when you're challenged or when you're going through something, get ready for God to begin to speak to you. And don't look at the things of this world with so much gravity that they would weigh you down, but look at them as an opportunity for God to begin to move in your life. How many would take that this morning? So during the time that the book of Revelation was written, it was a time of great persecution for the body of Christ. And so when he was banished to that island, you've got to understand it was a desolate, abandoned island where even to survive was a great challenge. Because there was not much shelter. When the rains would come, the protection was so minimal that basically John was exposed to the elements. Difficulty finding food, difficult just living. But in the middle of that, the Lord appeared to him again and showed him something that is just phenomenal. Because when we talk about this thing of faith, we understand that faith is not some abstract existence, but it's the very nature of the one who gives it. So it says in verse 11, and I think all of you have already probably read this, but he said, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and he makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in the fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. Kind of changes our perception of sweet Jesus in the manger, right? He's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Do you know that the preparation you're going through in your life is preparing you for the day that comes when Christ rules the nations with a rod of iron? Because you're going to rule and reign with him. Everybody say, rule and reign with him. And you thought that Christianity was just a nursery rhyme. The sweet by and by. Oh, but praise the Lord, we've been saved. Well, that's part of it. Thank you, Jesus. But the greatest part is the ascension that God gives us to make us co-creators and co-inheritors of his kingdom, co-rulers of his kingdom. Some of you are getting ready to rule some cities, some nations, some planets. Amen. How many want the planets? Okay, right. So you might as well reach for the stars while you're reaching, okay? Because God said, if you'll go up higher, you're going to find it. And verse 16, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everybody say it, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For it says he was a faithful and he is true. Now you might not be, and I might not be, the most faithful people in town. How many have ever wondered a little bit about your faithfulness? Has your faithfulness ever been like a gas tank that's running empty? Sometimes you're running on fumes. Because the hard as we try, sometimes faithfulness fails us. But in the midst of that, in the midst of all of our effort and our even our failure in our effort, we find that there's one that rules and reigns in the midst of us called the faithful and the true one. There's no one like our God. So the greatness of God is so identified, though, in the ability of God to identify with you. Because if he were to sit simply on a throne far above us, separated from us, then he wouldn't be what he said he is to us. Because of Christ was a high priest that identified with you in all your needs, all your suffering, all your failure, all your hurt, all your pain, all your disgrace, all your faithlessness. Christ identified with you as a high priest. So that even though you go through these things, he said, I'm joining there with you to go through it with you. Because it's not your strength, your power, your might, your ability that will carry you through this problem. But the faithfulness of the true God will see you through it. Amen? If you've been like me, I've failed a lot. Can you agree? How many have failed a lot? Paul said it. Paul said, I'm a sinner. I'm the chief sinner. I'm the biggest sinner. I'm the big kahuna. I'm the big sinner of all of you. But there's a faithful God that I serve because his faithfulness is greater than my need. He's always there in your time of need. The faithful, true God who will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you, but he daily lives to make intercession for you. That's the importance of understanding the nearness that God wants to draw you into with him. He wants to join you with him. He wants you to be part of who he is, so much so that he literally invades our life with the great love that he gives us. Wow. Just when I don't want him, he still wants me. When I try to run from him, he still follows me. If I try to dodge him, he's better at dodgeball than I am. He can throw the ball pretty good and catch me where I'm at. Whoops, there you go. Got you. You're going to get me now. Okay. Sometimes God just wants to get you. And We feel like sometimes some piglet that's been caught. Have you ever heard a little piglet squeal? I mean, it's cute, isn't it? I used to catch them. And boy, they squeal, squeal, squeal. I wish I could imitate that. Some of you farmers could do that pretty good, probably. Can I hear a squeal? Okay. Well, believe me, as a pastor, I hear a lot of squealing going on. Ooh. Sometimes we just walk right into the trap. Oh, no. And God's saying, yes, yes. The very thing that we feel like is the hardest thing, the most difficult thing, the most crisis of our life, that very thing is the thing God delights in the most. Because that's at the point he's going to meet you and change you. And what you see as a crisis, the Lord just laughs at it. Oh, my God, look what I'm going through now. The Lord said, ha, 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 ha. Wow, I've made a provision for you. You're going to make it through just fine, son. Get your eyes off of what you're going through and look to the faithful, true one, whose name is written upon him. I am faithful. I'm true. I'm going to provide everything that you need. So sometimes I found, and not sometimes, but all the time I found, the most intense dealings in my heart when God reaches the deepest place, and I feel like David, search me, O God, try me, see if there be any wicked way within me. At that very point is the point that becomes the dearest point to me, when God touches me in that wounded space. Wow. The balm of Gilead. I wish we could just package that up and buy some of it, don't you? What are you waiting today, sir? I need some balm of Gilead. Oh, where do you want it rubbed? Just rub it all over. I need it. I've been bruised up. I've been banged up. I've been shook up. I've been stirred up. I need some balm of Gilead. Wow. Do you know there's no price tag on that, is there? It's worth more than anything. Faithful and true is the Lord. Lord, for all these years that I've walked with you, by your grace, that I still hear. It's by your faith that I still endure. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. That we still carry on in the midst of all of this, all of our issues, begin all of our challenges, magnify when we back off of the spirit of faithfulness that he possesses. Because what God does in his faithfulness is he gives to you, the Bible said in the book of Galatians, that God gives fruit of his spirit, love, joy, peace. Good stuff, isn't it? Long suffering. This is what God wants you to have in you. Because when you walk in the Spirit, when the Spirit of the Lord fills your heart, you begin to manifest who he is. This Christ himself was the express image of the Father. Express image of the Father, we also become that image to become the expression of God upon the earth by his Spirit. So when we see the faithful, true God and we receive him, he becomes unto us that which he is. We no longer are that which we are, but now we are that which he is. I haven't got the strength and you haven't either, or the effort or the ability to produce these fruits. I might imitate them for a season, but they won't last. But the fruit of the Spirit is eternal, just like he is. This God, this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, the fruit of God that comes out of us, the love, the joy, the peace, the long suffering, the kindness. How many need some more kindness, right? The goodness. But this point right here is the greatest one, I believe, of all. The faithfulness of the Lord that he puts in you. It's not that we ever prove ourselves to God and hopefully we merit some favor from God because of our faithfulness, because it's not your faithfulness anyway to start with. It's his working within you. So, Pastor, you're stirring me up to say, would you be more faithful? No, I don't want you to be more faithful. Come on, Pastor, you tell us to be more committed? No, I don't care about your commitment. What I'm saying is let him be in you what he wants to be. Because as much as you try to be faithful to God, as much as you seek for your righteousness to please him, it falls short. All have fallen short of the glory of God. But when we turn to the Lord and we have a revelation, as John did on the Isle of Patmos, where he saw the Lord, and upon him was written the name, Faithful and True. No matter where you are, what you are, there's a God that's bigger than you, that wants to be in you and through you. I've got to admit, I'm a failure at all these. Well, the harder I try to love, and the harder I try to have joy, the harder I try to walk in peace, long-suffering, I fail. But when I can yield my heart in submission, yield my spirit to let Christ be Lord of lords and King of kings within me, then I can be faithful because it's his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Gentleness. I don't guess it'd be such a bad thing to be known as a gentle giant. Well, thank God I'm not as big a giant as I used to be. Some people still call me Big Bill. But 50 pounds less 5 years ago, I used to really be the big, big, gentle giant. Now I'm semi-big. Gentle giant. Self-control. Boy, I need some more of that. How about you? Wow. How many have ever been pushed a little bit? What you call pushed to the limit? Someone get up in your face and start bopping on your face with their finger? On your chest? How many have ever had that happen? How many know that self-control is very needed at that time? Hello? See, everything that we are and everything that we do becomes because of who he is, not because of what we are. Just go ahead and admit it. You're going to fail at this. You might as well admit it now. Your striving will not suffice for you. It's only when you let that life be exchanged for yours, the life of Christ, who gave his life for you. He becomes the faithful one. You know, in Hebrews chapter 2:3, it tells about this faithful God. It talks about Moses. You want to look in there at Hebrews chapter 2, also chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 2:17. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is also to aid those who are tempted. How many here this morning have had some temptation in your life? God said, I'm here to aid you. I'm here to identify with you because I'm a faithful high priest. One of the things that my greatest challenge is to be consistently faithful. But it's not hard when I look at the one that's consistently faithful to me. He never wavers, nor does he ever deviate. There's no shadow nor turning in his commitment. Our God is a faithful and true God that never ever, ever, ever does the opposite of what he's supposed to do. He never varies from the truth. I'm the truth, he said, and the truth will set you free. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I am a God that will never disappoint you. Wow. Upon Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. In my weakness, it's just an opportunity for his strength to be perfected, to be demonstrated on my behalf. In my failure, it's another opportunity for God, grace to abound. For sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Time Bill Hart slips a little, God stands strong, slippeth not. Amen. He keeps throwing me a line, an anchor to hold on to. He's the anchor of my soul. He's one that will never fail me. He will never leave me. He will never, ever, ever forsake me. Nor will he cause me to beg bread. Wow. It says in verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, chapter 3, partakers of the heavenly calling, let's consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all of his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who built the house is more honored than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Everybody say, we're his house. See, we are the building, we're the temple, we are the house of God. Wow. The builder of this kingdom is God. He's working diligently on your behalf to build within you a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Believe me, the shakings are coming. You think it's been bad? It's going to get worse. There's going to come a day, believe me, when the shakings can be so overwhelming that unless you're built upon this rock that Peter had the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, unless this rock is built within you, the gates of hell will prevail against you. But if the rock of Christ, the knowledge of the faithful, the true one is in you, then your house will be like a house built upon a rock that cannot fail. Amen? That's what God is wanting to build in each one of us individually and each one of us corporately, is to become a people that have written upon us faithful and true. Wow. Because somewhere, someday, somehow, everything that he became because of his faithfulness becomes your portion as well. Dale once prophesied to me years ago. You might not remember it. I think it was you, Dale. I know it. Well, I know it was you. He said, you're not going to just become talking about faith. You're not going to just preach about faith, but you're going to become faith. Believe me when I say this. Don't ask that lightly, because the scripture tells us plainly that when you seek this, don't think it strange when fiery trials come upon you. You might be shaken every which way but loose. There's a movie like that, wasn't there? Wasn't that like a monkey in Clint Eastwood? I mean, was it about the monkey shaking Clint Eastwood every which way but loose? I don't know. And the Mar Reagan things could do that to you, couldn't it? Just shake. But I tell you, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. When you come boldly to the throne of grace and, oh God, I want everything you've got for me. Get ready, chubby checker. We'll come out with one of those old dimes, those old jukeboxes, twist and shout. I used to do that when I know I'm telling my age, and some of you are shocked to hear this. But I used to do the twist and shout. I used to twist so much that my sides would start hurting. This is like in the seventh grade with chubby checker. Some of you younger people don't know what I'm talking about, do you? That's okay. God will give you wisdom. Or he'll give you Google and you'll find it. Right? I mean, I took some young guys up in my office one day and I said, I was so proud because when I owned a company, one of my customers was Glenn Campbell. And I talked to him on the phone. And I won't tell you what he said because it's a little R-rated. But he was a funny guy. He was driving on a bus through Nebraska when I talked to him. This is Bill Hart, the CEO of Kingsway. And I said, yeah. He said, I got a testimony for you about his product, about the products we were selling him. And believe me, if it worked the way he said it did, we would be millionaires. But so I took it. I'm so proud of my autographed signature picture from Glenn Campbell. And I'm showing it to Cheryl and Joel's son, Spencer and Anna and Atario and Bethany, I think. And I said, look at this picture of Glenn Campbell. So, you know, I'm proud. I know this guy. And they said, who's Glenn Campbell? All of a sudden, the light came on. They don't know who Glenn Campbell is. Sacrilege. These kids are going to hell. So, of course, I was a dutiful papa, and I made them listen to By the Time I Get to Phoenix. And Galveston. And Lineman on the Railroad. And Summer Nights. So we listened to four songs, and they still didn't know who he was. So I gave up, said, forget about it. People don't know anything anymore, Dale. I mean, our children are dumb and unlearned. Wow. Of course, I don't know any of the contemporary artists either. I don't know anybody since 1975. I mean, you tell me anybody since then, I have no idea. Okay. Where was I? We are the house if we hold fast the confidence. Verse 6. It's Christ over son of his own house, whose house we are. If, there's a big if, isn't there? We hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. Did you know that you have to hold on to this stuff firmly? Amen? There's no such thing as wishy-washy in Christ. Your commitment cannot be one day you're on and the next day you're off, because you know what it'll end into? It'll end in nothing. So what do? You keep standing in the house, knowing that you're not adequate, you don't have the ability to perform and do the thing that you're supposed to be, but you just stand in his house, because you know that as long as you stand in his house, he'll be working all things for good to those that are called according to his purpose. That Christ will be working in you to perform and to do and to show his good works within you. Independent of the fact that you probably didn't want it that bad to start with. But if you'll just stand firm, faithful, and hold on to the faithful, true builder of this house, he will build something significant in your life. It's never how you impress someone the way you start this, but it's how you impress in the way you stand through the time of shaking in your life. That's what brings you out on the other side, is the product that God reflects himself in. It's amazing. You're that smeltered ore that's been heated, stirred, disemboweled, separated. All that impurity all that's left after the smelting and the stirring and the shaking and the billowing and all the things that go into creating, all that's left is a piece of gold. It's in you. It's treasure. And an earthen vessel is in you. All this faithfulness, joy, long-suffering, peace, all these fruits of the Spirit will be revealed in you as this great example of Christ. Wow. It's amazing. When we look at the life of Abraham, and I don't have time to go into much this morning. I'm always running out of time. But guess what? I'll get another chance. Amen. Will you give me another chance? How many chances would you give me before you quit on me? How many times do I have to ask your forgiveness? Please forgive me. Let me go. Now, I'm not going to sing that. Okay. That's not Glenn Campbell, by the way. Who was that? Was that? Who? Hank Williams Jr.? Oh, would you like to hear a Hank Williams Jr.? Okay. Shucks. Not this time. How about next time? Okay, I'll bring my best Hank Williams Jr. next time. Some of you don't know who Hank Williams Jr. is. Well, actually, Hank Williams Sr. You don't know. You probably know who Hank Williams Jr. is. Abraham, in the book of Romans, is chapter 4, is called our father of faith. The good news about Abraham is that Abraham created a covenant that still exists today. And the whole premise of that covenant was to create a people that would believe God, even against hope. A people that would stand no matter what and still proclaim the promises of the Lord. Because Abraham became such a prime example of how you overcome. Because here was a man and a woman, his wife Sarah, that were faced with insurmountable odds of ever fulfilling the promises that God had called them to do. I've got this little paper in the back. You might have seen it. It's the visions and the prophetic words that God spoke throughout our life since 1973. And in 1973, in the midst of that great outpouring of the Holy Spirit there in Lubbock, Texas, when the cloud of glory came in the back door, that same week I had a vision. It was my first open vision from the Lord. Two other men had the same vision the same week, and they came to me independently. So when, you know, and let it be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses, you know, because when you have it, it could just be you had gas. But when you have two or three other people have the same vision at the same time, and they come to you independently, you begin to hearken to that just a little bit, saying, this could be God speaking to me, right? Let everything be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So some of you, you get words, be careful that you get don't get too excited until there's confirmation, because the confirmation is what you're looking for. Then once you have the confirmation and you know it's the word from the Lord, then you can stand on that word and you can believe it just like Abraham believed, even when there didn't seem to be any way to see it fulfilled. Now, get me ask you this. The word that came to me in 1973, which is now 40, what year is this? 44 years ago. The Lord opened a vision. He said, one day I would pastor a church in the South that would become a mighty church, and out of it would flow many apostles and prophets all over the earth. In other words, God, he was saying God's going to create an apostolic company of people that are going to flow out of this place, and they're going to have an influence to the world. Same vision came. It not only came that year twice more, but it has come several times since then. God has spoken the similar, almost exact words through independent sources. So I'm not saying that to build me up to say that I'm going to become something special, but I am saying this, that no matter how old I get, I still believe in the fulfillment of that word. Yes. The motivation that I have today is not simply to pastor a church, because there's far more better pastors than I am. I'm not doing this at my age so that I can be called a pastor or even a papa. I'm doing it because I have a word from God to fulfill a promise. Amen. You see, God wants that word to be in you as well. Whatever the word that God has spoken over your life, not only individually, but in this corporate environment, is a word that we should stand on and we should not back away from. We should keep declaring it no matter how we look, no matter how we think we are, no matter how old we get, no matter how inept we think we are. We keep standing on the infallible word of God. Amen. God said it. I believe it. God declared it. We are it. So God spoke to Abraham, look at the stars. Look at the sand. I'm going to make a nation out of you that's greater than all the stars in heaven and all the sand. So Abraham's 100 years old and keeps saying, I'm becoming a nation. Bless God. I'm believing you, Lord, above my old body, my wife's old body. I keep standing in faith, believing you are going to do something special because of what you have said. Hallelujah. And it doesn't make any difference if the creeks rise or if they rise up in unison against you and declare you to be a reprobate or whatever they may say about you. You keep standing and believing that there's a faithful, there's a true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that His Word rules above every circumstance of life. Amen. So as sure as I'm standing here today, I know this. I hope you stay around long enough to see it. That one day, there's going to be a mighty apostolic company birthed out of this church. That men and women are going to go forth out of this place, and they're not only going to just infect the nations, they're going to shake the nations. Amen. And I remember back in the 1989 when I was caught up to be with the Lord. Now, that's a pretty good deal when that happens, right? Nothing special about me. It just happened. And I'm with Jesus, and when he gave me this handshake, he shook me, what we call the handshake of the Lord. Show him, Paul, how they do this so you can still remember. No, down here, Paul. Everybody does it wrong. Jesus said, I'm your friend. And then he took me. And you play like me, Paul. I'll play like Jesus. I like that better. Jesus took me. We were walking along, and it was like this porch. And the beautiful thing about there is that everything is alive. I mean, it's like the coolest thing you've ever seen. Everything is living. The floor, the walls, it's just pulsating with life. So we walk into this room, and inside this room, I couldn't really tell how big it was because you can't really measure stuff there like that. And so in this room, it's like a normal-sized room, but it's all pulsating with life, too. And I'm like, this is cool. So Jesus turned around looking at me like this. And then my hair. And are you playing me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I had more hair than you did. Then my hair turned this brilliant white. And I could see myself. The beautiful thing when you're in spirit, you can see yourself. You know, you can see everything else out here, but you also see yourself. And I saw myself, and I said, Lord, what's happening to me? I'm thinking, I'm going to be like that movie where the guy gets older and older and he drives up and falls apart. I'm thinking, down the process just a little bit. And the Lord said, that's my wisdom being perfected in you. And the moment he said that, all of a sudden the ceiling of this room opened up like a and we both accelerated up, and we were holding arms like this, and we both just began to fly up into the sky. We got way up in the atmosphere, and I'm like freaked out. I mean, I'm having this experience. My body is on the earth, but my spirit's up here, see? And as we're going along, I'm looking. It's almost like he's Superman. He's holding me like this. We're flying along, you know. And we're looking down, and And I see all these patches. I'm thinking, my goodness, what's those patches? And I'm thinking, since I'm a farmer, well, was a farmer, but once a farmer, always a farmer, right? Since I used to be a farmer, I thought, well, these are look like crops down here. You know, you've ever been up in a high jet and it looks like crops? And the Lord said, that's not crops, that's nations. And so all of a sudden, we start going down like this, and then I look, and then he's no longer there. I'm going down by myself, but I'm going down like the speed of sound, you know, 600 and something miles an hour. Shoo! I'm going just like this, and I am scared. And as I get closer to the ground, though, I feel the brakes coming on my descension. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't want to be the bug on the windshield. And so, as I get closer, I can see that all these patches are people, and there's just multitudes of people. And as I come down, they all are watching me come down, and they start coming towards me. And to be honest with you, I was initially frightened because I thought, this is an angry mob. They're going to come and devour me when I get to the ground. But just as I started coming down, I raised my right arm up in the air, and I'll never forget this. I said, behold, I've come in the name of the Lord. And when I said that, this glory just came out. It just began to spread among the people. And that was when I returned back to the earth. And, huh? I just want to tell you, Paul, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I'm faithful and true to you. Amen.
All right.
I like playing this role. Yeah. Sit down, boy. Yeah, okay. How many of you like playing the role of God? Some of you have tried that lately, haven't you? It didn't work too good, did you? That wasn't the part that was cast for you, by the way. But it's cast for you to walk alongside him, like Abraham. Well, you know, Abraham got up every day. I'm just going to talk with God. He just would talk with the Lord and just have a good old chat with the Lord. Said, hey, Abraham, I just want to remind you, I know you're getting a little bit long in the tooth. I know your wife isn't very attractive anymore. But guess what, Abraham? You're going to be the father of many nations. Say that again, Lord. Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. How many of you ever felt like God's shouting at you a little bit, trying to get your attention? Didn't I not tell you that I'm with you, that I have promised you, that I've declared over you who you're going to be and what you're going to become and what you're going to do? Won't you listen to what I'm telling you? I'm faithful and I'm true. It's like Isaiah, 100 years before Cyrus was born, Isaiah begin to prophesy in Isaiah chapter 45. Coincidence? Isaiah chapter 45 about this king that was going to be birthed, that God said, I don't even know this guy, but this is what he's going to do. He's going to correct Israel. He's going to change everything in Israel because he's going to rule it and he's going to change it. Wow. 100 years. Before it happened, Isaiah prophesied it. You see, it's no big deal to God that have all these promises out here. And we're thinking, oh, when is there ever going to happen? Guess what? It's all going to happen. It's all going to happen. It's all going to happen. Maybe not when you think it will, but it will. Isaiah, you're a fool prophesying what's going to happen in 100 years. Not one word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God will fail. But every word that God speaks will bring forth its fruit in due season. Don't you think and don't you mock God and think that he will not fulfill it. He's going to fulfill it. And don't you think just because you've got a perception of how it's going to be, that's the way it's going to be. Because God perception, it rules over yours. Amen. God is truth. There's no lie within him. His word triumphs above his name, and he watches over it to make sure comes about. It's like Gideon in the book of Judges. We won't go there. We don't have time. Chapter 6. Gideon was from this little old pencil neck tribe. Some of y'all don't know what the word pencil neck means. I won't explain that. But he was from this tribe that was very insignificant. But all of a sudden, God began to speak to him and said, he's going to be a savior to his people. Look, you know what happened with Gideon? Wow. Gideon's army and the great triumph that came through his obedience to God. But see, God began to speak in advance to who he was going to become. I'm telling you this hour, God is telling you, the church, that we are destined to be a mighty force upon the earth. A force that cannot be stopped. A force that's been birthed by faith, that's been formed in the Father's house, that's been shaped into the image of God himself, that we become the faith that God's looking upon the earth. And he says, when I come, will I find that faith? Will I find that faithfulness upon the earth? Will I find the people that are holding on to the altar, won't let go? God, your promises are true. They are sure. They're for us in this hour. So I know you're messed up with your bill collector. I know you're messed up with your person that doesn't like you. I know you're messed up with some of your stuff in your health. I know you're messed up with some stuff that you see on TV. Don't let any of that stuff mess you up. Keep looking at the Word of God. Keep looking to the faithful, the true God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who triumphs mightily over everything in this world. Faithful and true is our God. Whew. What's coming up in the future, Abraham? Well, I'm going to be a father. Nah, I don't see that Sarah's pregnant. No, she's going to be. Abraham, you're a fool. Her womb's dead by now. It didn't just work that way. You know, women that age, nah. Oh, you mean Sarah? Yeah, no. God's going to bring forth a son. You sure about that, Abraham? Yeah, it's going to happen. When's it going to happen? I don't know. Hang around. You'll see. It's going to happen. Why, how do you know that? Because God said it. Amen. Said he did not waver through unbelief. The promise did not stagger him. He couldn't be shaken. See, do you ever get shook up, Abraham, by some of the things I say? No, Lord, I hear everything you said. Are you going to believe it? Yeah, I'm going to believe every word that comes out of your mouth. Because you do not lie. I'm telling you this morning. Do not believe the father of lies. He does not love you. He does not care about you other than one thing, to destroy you. Don't believe any more lies. Someone comes up and tells you something that's a lie, reject it. Did you know this and this and this? No, I didn't know that. I know what the Lord says. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is true. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Well, what do you think about all this? I don't think anything about it. I think about what God has said. That's what means something to me. That's who I am. Who am I? I am what God has declared me to be. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the redeemed one. I've been purchased with a price. The price of death and blood that was given for me. I have been brought up out of death. I've been brought into the kingdom of light. I've been brought out of the place of oppression into the place of freedom. I've been brought out of the place of shame into the place of forgiveness. I've been brought out of the place that the world would try to hold me in. I am no longer bound by the spirit of this age, but I am a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, bound by the word that he's spoken over my life. Yes, I am. Yes, I can. Old man Cain is dead, and we're going to bury him in a deep grave. Whew. Shaka la baka so puka paka. Ooh, shika la maso toko paka daka shikila mohosa.